Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Isaiah 7 verses 1 to 17 and Matthew 5 verses 38 to the end. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz entitled, Stand Firm in Your Faith.
Well, today we are remembering Charles Simeon, and I don't know, you might not know, actually, our church, we're part of a trust, which is the Simeon's Trust. He's our patron. There we go. And it comes from Charles Simeon, who was a priest in Cambridge. And very interesting. So I've got a little summary here. He had a 1 year first in the church, but the church he remained was Holy Trinity, which is a church also we attended when we were in Cambridge. In 1783, was appointed there, curate in charge, and he was very, very unpopular to the point that parishioner would lock the door to prevent him from getting into the church. But it's because he was unashamed to preach the gospel, and he was for, you know, preaching the gospel and wanted people to meet Jesus. So he remained patient and endured the opposition and the insults. Yeah, parishioner would even insult him. But through his endurance, caring for the people and preaching unashamedly the gospel, his church became the biggest in Cambridge, and even a revival was brought through that ministry. And he stayed there for 55 years in that church, growing the church by himself paying for an additional gallery, which is still there, to accommodate that growing congregation. And so all his writings, it's still at Ridley Hall in the place where Anglican train. So it's quite a very special connection. But also quite an interesting story of parishioner. If he had accommodate what the parishioner wanted, possibly this church wouldn't have grown, actually.
You were a curate there. You were a curate there.
No, it was our church. When we trained, I trained in Ridley Hall for two years, and then we attended. It's still one of the main church buzzing with a great ministry among. Andy, for reading our Old Testament reading.
In the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel, went up to attack Jerusalem, but could not mount an attack against it. When the house of David heard that Aram had allied itself with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go and meet Ahaz, you and your son, Shear Jashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smouldering stumps of firebrands, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Because Aram with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and cut off Jerusalem and conquer it for ourselves and make the son of Tabor king in it. Therefore, says the Lord God, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered, no longer a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. Again, the Lord said, spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and your ancestral house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria.
Thank you. And so our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, part of that Sermon on the Mount, verse 38 to the end.
Jesus said to the crowds, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
An amazing passage, part of this Sermon on the Mountain, and the whole Sermon on the Mountain ends with people being really taken aback by the power of Jesus' teaching. And here is quite a powerful teaching again about Jesus doesn't make following God easier. It seems he makes it even more difficult. And actually, the whole Sermon on the Mount is not there to make us righteous, but to make us realize that we need the strength and the grace to live that kind of life. It's the start of receiving grace, and the Holy Spirit then enables us to live the kind of life that is described here, because in our own strength it's impossible. The danger with this first reading is not understanding the first century context, because people would have understood what it means to be slapped on the right cheek and what does it mean to turn then the other cheek, or the illusion of walking a second miles, which has to do with the Roman army and what they could be asking. And there is a beautiful scene in The Chosen about that, if you've seen it, and it just helps realize actually it's not about being a doormat. And maybe the best way to read that is to think about how Jesus applied this very truth, because Jesus did turn the other cheek, he did walk the second mile, And he did those kind of things in his own ministry, but far from being a doormat. So trying to think about the places where Jesus himself embodied his own teaching is helpful to help us understand what it means to apply this kind of teaching. So maybe to help, I'll just going through some of those images, and by understanding the context makes us realize what it really means, and sometimes it means what the opposite of what we thought. So the if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one. The right cheek strike was likely to be a backhanded slap, which often a superior would do to an inferior, so a master to a servant, or a Roman to a Jew, or a man to a woman. And so it wasn't about fighting, but about humiliation or asserting dominance. And so Jesus, by saying, turn the other cheek, it wasn't saying be a doormat, but actually saying stand your ground, but not with violence, but with resistance and dignity. Find a way, by God's grace, to actually refuse the humiliation by exposing, not in a way that humiliate the other, but by exposing the true cruelty of that act without violent retaliation. Because our normal reaction would be to be, if we want to take revenge, we'd take revenge. And in a way, we would take revenge by doing just the same, humiliating the other one, or by using violence. That's the human way. But God calls us to a different way, not to be a doormat, but to a different way that would show the cruelty of that action without being cruel or humiliating to the other person. So quite a reversal. The other one about taking, you know, give the cloak as well, is quite similar, because you had two kind of coats, one the kind of the outer coat and the inner one. And if you'd give both, basically you would end up naked. By giving that other garment, you would be naked. And in Jewish culture, of course, nakedness would be shameful. And so this is about, again, exposing an injustice in the sense of a court system, because it's about debt, so it's about court. And there were often, in Jesus' times, people would be sued for small debt and then stripped of their possession by healthy people. So here again is to expose the injustice, the oppression, with truth and dignity, but not vengeance. So by, in a sense, in a symbolic way, saying, you know, give the other cloak, is reveal, show how shameful that action is, but not in a revengeful way, in a non-violence protest. And the forcing of going an extra miles or the other miles, you might have seen through The Chosen, a soldier had the right to tell anyone to carry the Roman soldiers' gears for 1 mile as a symbolic, again, a symbol of their might, and that they're the superiors and they have to and they have the right and the power to do that. And to go a second mile would just to be disarming that oppressor would be quite surprising. And it's so well done in The Chosen, because actually it shows it's not being a doormat, it's actually being a sign of strength to say, well, you know, I'm going to take another mile for you, just for you, voluntary. It's voluntary generosity. And and in The Chosen, it shows how it throws them off. And it speaks then deeply about where their heart is. And in a sense, it's a strength, because instead of acting as a victim, they actually act as being that can make choices for themselves, that reverse that desire to humiliate and overpower. So just a few examples that by looking at the context help us, that really it's not about being a doormat, but actually it's about being full of wisdom from God to act in a surprising way that will actually disarm what the person sought to do, whether it was humiliation or empowering others in a way that was non-violent, but in a way also that was courageous. It's a need to pray for wisdom and to be filled by God's Holy Spirit and to learn from Jesus what it means to be his light in areas where people want to assert their power and humiliate others. And how do we affirm our own dignity as children of God, but yet in a way that testify of the living presence of God in us by surprising people by our reaction. So some of our thoughts on this passage. I didn't comment on the Old Testament, which I think has a lot to say also. So you might have something in the Old Testament that drew your attention, or maybe something in this own passage there.
What you said about the New Testament, and I agree. But, some people, they do think that as a Christian, you're a doormat, especially. But that's a different way of looking at it. Where, I mean, I always thought, to me, it was turn the other cheek so they'd hit you on that one. So you've put a totally different reflection on it for me. So thank you very much.
Great teaching.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most misunderstood because we're not in that culture. For us, slapping on the cheek has a very different now, but it's still a sign of humiliation. But
I think yes, the idea of turning the other cheek and thereby disarming the person that's pressing it. It also includes an expectation that God will honour what you've done. And, by, I think, his Holy Spirit, he will convict the person that's oppressing you and make them change or make them realise that they're doing wrong. Mm. God works in this, if we take this line that Jesus is suggesting. In other words, what I'm trying to say is it's not that by turning the other cheek, we are making the other person feel bad about what they've done. But by turning the other cheek, we are inviting God to come into this situation and help us. And I think the Old Testament reading, I think it was is Isaiah 9, It's a similar thing, really, that Israel was opposed by these warring kings, bent on destroying Israel. But what Isaiah was saying to them, be aware that God is faithful. He will always rescue you, even when there are these armies coming up against you, he will deliver. And then, so I think these two passages really are saying the same thing, that God will deliver us from these things that oppress us.
I've nothing really to add, except I just wrote down, stand for the title of the Bible Bite, stand firm in your faith, the Jesus way. And that's just what we've
heard. From Matthew, what they said also, the person that struck you would perhaps see you, your reaction would make them think as well, because you'd be wrapped in perhaps in a way they wouldn't expect you to react.
There's an excellent 30-day chosen Bible plan at the moment. November is this month for reading the Bible, and I'm watching it, and there's clips from Chosen with then a further reading or a further explanation of the clip, and followed by the reading that it refers to. It can be found on the Bible app, and if you just go under plans and then just put the chosen, and it's a 30-day plan with clips, and it's really very good. It obviously you're listening to an American voice, so you know, but we are one people. Yeah, it's just the interpretation that the writers of The Chosen have managed to do is yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at the one above it, but it, on the one I'm looking at, it's just a slight American twang. Or listening to, I should say.
Good, let's pray and bless our friends from America. Well, they're doing a good job, but even
they
if
are.
Sometimes
yeah, definitely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.